We'll soon have the state-of-the-art intel on America's job market. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The big economic story of the morning is the September jobs report due in about an hour and a half. Forecasters are expecting something like 180,000 more names on payrolls. Consistent with the growth we've been seeing, the effects of Hurricane Florence is one wild card. As for factory jobs, employers have been adding thousands per month until it blipped down in August. There are other signs that manufacturing could be slowing. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Until midsummer, manufacturing was consistently adding jobs at a robust pace. Andrew Chamberlain at job site Glassdoor chalks it up in large part to the Trump administration's corporate tax cuts.
There were large provisions for immediate expensing of big capital investment. And because capital and labor go together when you make manufactured products, it's also encouraging them to hire workers.
Recently, though, manufacturing has faced mounting headwinds, especially the strong dollar, which makes American-produced goods more expensive for customers overseas. Ben Herzon at Macroeconomic Advisors thinks the greatest risk going forward is escalating trade tensions and tariffs.
And there's anecdotal evidence that businesses are rethinking capital expenditure plans, which could feed back negatively into the manufacturing.
The biggest concern of employers, meanwhile, is finding enough skilled workers as manufacturing wages are rising. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There is the number of jobs and there is the quality of jobs. Now, this summer, the White House gathered more than a dozen companies who pledged to give better job training to nearly 4 million Americans over the next 5 years. The retailer Walmart alone is trying to do about a quarter of that total. Kathleen McLaughlin, Walmart's chief sustainability officer, came into our New York bureau to talk about job training. Welcome.
It's my pleasure to be with you here today, David. Thank you.
Remind us about the pledge. A bunch of companies, but Walmart very much included, have pledged to train millions of people for the jobs of the future. Tell me more about that and how it's going.
We did. We joined that effort, and we publicly committed there to provide training and skill development to at least a million of our U.S. associates over the next 5 years. And that's going to be through education and training. And, you know, it's really an extension of something we started back in 2015.
If you're working, you have to find the time to retrain. And it sounds like you've been doing some thinking about this because you may have family commitments. You may, in fact, have a second job. And, you know, where you find the time to get the retraining done is a conundrum.
We have a massive incumbent workforce that needs new skills to succeed in their current job, let alone to move up, let alone to handle the challenges of the future of work. We funded a study, for example, that found that 2/3 of the 50 million people in service sector frontline jobs today have literacy gaps, and 3/4 of the people have numeracy gaps. They're already in the workforce. So what we're trying to do is make it the norm, not just at Walmart, but across employers in general, that people can learn on the job. So we've come at it a couple different ways. One is through our own training programs. And then what we've also done is a program that allows people to get access to 4-year degrees, $1 a day on their own time.
Ms. McLaughlin, I have to ask you, why is this Walmart's problem?
It's in the interest of any business to address the challenges and opportunities that have to do with the systems they rely on. And in our case, our people are critical. That's how we serve the customer. Our associates are the front line to the customer. And it really starts with us wanting to provide the best experience for our customer as a retailer.
I always say that you're the largest private employer in America. Is that still right?
Largest private employer. And I think we're also the largest training program in America. 400,000 people a year in Pathways, you know, 500,000 people in the Walmart Academy. I think that does make us the largest workforce development program in the country.
Kathleen McLaughlin, Chief Sustainability Officer at Walmart. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
This week, Amazon said it's raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour. Earlier this year, Walmart raised its minimum wage to $11 an hour. Markets, the FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow and S&P futures are a little changed ahead of the jobs report. U.S. interest rates are up. The benchmark's up at 3.2%.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually, every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Shares of a big Danish bank embroiled in a Russian money laundering scandal are down 9% in Copenhagen right now. Yesterday, the U.S. Justice Department said it's joining the investigation. And today, a published report in Europe provided evidence of one of Danske's big techniques for allegedly obscuring the origins of client money, $10 billion in what are called mirror trades. I asked the BBC's EU correspondent, Jonty Bloom, about how a mirror trade works.
Well, what actually happens is, say, a billionaire in Russia buys shares in an international company, let's say Amazon, just for example. He buys some Amazon shares in Moscow with rubles. And then Danske Bank in New York sells the same number of Amazon shares and credits his bank account in America in dollars. So there's a kind of, you know, both sides of the Atlantic, the mirror transactions take place. One buys Amazon shares, one sells Amazon shares. But suddenly that billionaire has had his rubles in Russia converted into dollars in America without anybody noticing. And that is breaking the sanctions. It's a way of getting around it. It's money laundering.
All right. The BBC's Jonty Bloom. Thank you so much.
A pleasure, David.
Mirror trades are not in themselves illegal, but it's a problem if Danske Bank used them for laundering. And again, Amazon was just an example there. They could use any stock. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. The engineer is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.